Hello, and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. Okay, the title of this podcast is More Magic. So it's a short follow-on to a previous podcast called Magic, which was about iterators, generators, and decorators, and a few other things like list expressions and sets. So I've been thinking about it since, and I have a few more comments I want to make about decorators and generators in particular, and then a couple other topics, and then I will have some Python news at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned for that also. You know, I've become convinced that decorators are really not difficult conceptually, even though I've had a difficult time comprehending them. I think the reason that I and others find them difficult is because they really are new. And in fact, new, even though if you've studied mathematics and algebra, most of programming, especially if you've studied any programming language, it's all familiar. You've seen it all before, more or less, with just a different syntax. But in the case of decorators, it's a concept that I had never run into before. And I think that's true of most of us. And I think that that is the only reason that it seems difficult. So we need to get over the novelty. And the way I do that is I read about things in several different places. Every place I can find in tutorials. There are several tutorials on my website about decorators. And if I read about something once, I won't learn it necessarily. But if I read it in four different places, from four different points of view, in four different words chosen by four different people, I learn it. So I strongly encourage you to go to the decorators and generators tutorials on my website at www.awaretech.com and study them. But for now, I just want to make a few quick comments about decorators, and I think you'll see that they're not that difficult. A decorator really is just a wrapper function. And really, you could do this in Python previously by making a wrapper function without the new syntax. The syntax is the sigil, the at symbol or sigil, which we use in email addresses. So that at sigil, when you see it, the at sigil followed by some word like class method, static method, or decorator, be right before a function definition, you'll know that that's a decorator. And all it means is that you are wrapping that function or that class method with another function which is called by this decorator. Now, here's a key point that I didn't somehow latch onto at first. There are a few predefined decorators like class method and static method that you can call with this at sigil. So you say at class method or at static method, and that makes that method that you define in the next, starting in the next line in the next code block, to be a static method or a class method. Or the other thing you can do is you can predefine your own function. You can define a function, call it whatever you will, call it generator example, okay? They don't normally name functions that long, but to make this example work, I'm going to say define generator example. You define that function, and then you wrap it around another function by putting the at generator function call right before the other function. And so when you think about it that way, it's not so difficult. And let's say another example would be you can nest these things by having, let's say before a function is defined, you have at A, and then on the next line at B, and on the next line at C, and then define your function. Well, what you've done is you've defined a function that is wrapped by three nested functions. So you have a function which is A of B of C of whatever function you are ultimately decorating. You may have to listen to that twice, that whole introduction. Or hopefully by now, like me, you're beginning to sort of understand enough to be dangerous. That's my case. So you know what? If my explanation is wrong, I'm not going to be embarrassed. Just some expert out there tell me what I did wrong, and I'll correct it in the next podcast. But I believe that's a very bird's eye view, not maybe to use decorators, but certainly to understand decorators when you see them so that you can read what the decorator function is doing in someone else's Python code. So as I say, read the tutorials on my website on decorators and do them more than once. I have to do them two or three times, you know, on different days for it to sink into my 53-year-old brain. You know, I was not a good programmer ever. It doesn't come easy to me. And at 53, you know, if you're any younger than that, and if you are programming every day at work, then I'm sure you can pick this up a lot faster. But that's decorators. They're not so hard, and they're quite a good enhancement to our language. The next topic I want to touch on again is generators and generator expressions. I think that this is even easier than decorators and easier to use for sure. And I find it incredibly useful now that I'm beginning to get the hang of it, and I'm sure you will too. Okay, a generator is just a function containing the keyword yield. And when called, this generator function returns an iterator, x, so that you can call the next method, x.next, when you start executing this function, until you get to the yield in that function, and it yields whatever it's supposed to yield and freezes the state of that function. And then you go on and yield it to the rest of your program and then come back when the next is called. Then the function is thawed out or unfrozen. And this keeps on going until you finally fall off the end of the function or come to a return. A return of that in that function body will automatically end the iteration. It'll raise a stop iteration error and end the iteration, which is good because that's what you meant when you put the return in there. So generators really are very simple. It's a function with a yield keyword, and then you can call the next method. So it's just about as simple as it gets. And I gave you lots of examples in my previous podcast, but now I want to talk about something I mentioned then, which is generator expressions. A generator expression is similar to a list comprehension, except instead of square brackets like for a list around it, you have regular old parentheses around it, around the expression, like a function parentheses call. And this produces generator iterators suitable for looping one item at a time, and it's very efficient. So in other words, if you can have an expression, x squared for x in x range 10, if you had that in a list bracket, it would be a list expression. But if you put it in a function and call the sum function, sum, the function sum, and then in parentheses, x squared for x in x range 10, then what you get is the sum of all the squares in x range 10. So the sum of all the integers from 1 to 10, the squares of all the integers from 1 to 10. I think that's the same example I gave in my previous podcast of generator expressions. But if you think about how simple that is and how concise and how understandable, sum of x squared for x in x range 10. Now, you can use any reasonable function that applies, not just sum. You could have, use your imagination. It could be a function that you define yourself to perform some operation on the expression in the argument body of this function. So function, parentheses, expression. That's a generator expression. Wow, this is so useful that I'm using it in my code. I mean, this is an enhancement to our language, people. And I have to hand it to Guido von Rossum and his team for being able to add such power to this language that's already so powerful. Add these powerful things in such a poetic way that makes so much sense. I my hat's off to Guido. And again, another example of generators. And this is one, again, I think I used in my previous podcast, but I believe in repetition when learning. I really do. And this is one that's used a lot to sort of give an idea what generators are good for. And that's to yield the Fibonacci series. You know, the Fibonacci series, again, is a series of integers where each integer, each number in the series is the sum of the previous two numbers. So you start out with 0, then 1, then 1, then 2, then 3, then 5, then 8, then 8 plus 5 is 13, 13 plus 8 is 21, 21 plus 13 is 34, and on and on and on. So here is the simple way to this is given as, I think, a test sometimes when you apply for a job to see if you know a certain language. They say, use Python to generate the Fibonacci series. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Define Fibonacci. Okay, just a regular old function declaration here. Define Fibonacci. And then in the code block, I, j is assigned to 1, 1. while true, yield I. And then I, comma J is assigned to J, comma I plus J. That's the entire function, the entire generator function to find Fibonacci. And then to call it, and here's where the poetry comes in, for F in Fibonacci, print F. If F is greater than 100, break, print. So we stopped at 100, so we didn't go on forever. We could have gone for infinity and generated an infinite series of Fibonacci numbers. But listen to that one beautiful line to for loop through for F in Fibonacci, print F. Now, for F in Fibonacci, remember, Fibonacci is a function. We defined Fibonacci, and then we put a yield statement. We had, while true, yield I. So every time you go through Fibonacci, you're going to yield the next number in the infinite series of Fibonacci numbers. So for F in Fibonacci, print F. So we're printing the Fibonacci series. How much simpler can it get? Let that sink into your mind. You can use generators in your code, no matter how new you are, to Python. And this is one of the greatest strengths of Python. It is the easiest language to learn, to wrap your mind around, to decorate your mind with Python code. Python is a wrapper function around your mind's functioning. And infinite generators, like the Fibonacci series, you define Fibonacci, and for F in Fibonacci, print F, and then you yield them all. My friends, this is the beauty of generators. This is the beauty of Python. Computer programming for everybody. Well, that's generators and decorators, and I'm going to talk very briefly about a couple of other topics. This is basic stuff, but, you know, sometimes when you're new, you don't use exceptions as much as maybe you could benefit from. The capability to program with exceptions is a real strength of Python, and it's not just for catching errors. You can also use it as a control mechanism. So remember, the syntax is very simple. Try, and then you try a code block. And if that code block doesn't raise an exception, then it goes to the other side. But if it does raise an exception, then you go to the except. So you have a try block and an except block. And if an exception is raised, then you execute the except block. And you could also have an else as a third code block in this series. You can also query for specific exceptions like value error or type error. So you can also do user-defined errors. You can define an error. And so it's a way you can cause your program, use it as a control structure, and cause your program to do certain things if a certain error type comes up. So look for ways to use exceptions to do the try, except syntax and control structure in your Python code. Now, another really useful thing that sometimes newbies pass over rather quickly, I know I did when I first got involved, and that is the magic method, underscore, underscore, some name, underscore, underscore, like underscore, underscore, init, underscore, underscore. You learn that pretty quick because you have to initialize each class, but as a constructor. But there are other really good magic methods available in Python, which really aren't hard at all to understand if you just take the time to understand them. And you know, sometimes when you go through your first learning book or tutorial, you pass rather quickly over that because you can actually write programs without using it. But I think that it's wrong to pass over it. So you can use, there are certain defined magic methods that come predefined in Python, like get attribute or set attribute, just like they're predefined, just like the init attribute. And those are very valuable, and you could define your own, but just the predefined ones are extremely valuable. And really, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And, well, before I get off this topic, don't forget the most magic of them all, perhaps, if name is the same as main. This is, you know, if underscore underscore name underscore underscore is the same as double equal sign, quotation mark, double underscore main, double underscore end quotation. If name is the same as main and then colon, this is a way you put it at the end of a program and then you tell it what you want it to do if it's main. So that if you're running it as your main program, what comes below will execute your program. Otherwise, it's just a module, because if it's being called as a module, if it's being imported as a module, then it's not the main function. So this is another way to use these magic methods. So I don't even know if magic method, I don't know what the technical term for these are, but you need to study up on these double underscore lingo and nomenclature. So don't be afraid to dig in. There is no part of Python that is really that difficult. And it really shows, again, the strength of the evolution that Python is the easiest language to learn, and it's the most easy to read, the most beautiful, very powerful. And yet, Guido is able to add more and more powerful structures in while maintaining the symmetry of the code. And remember, it still executes faster than a lot of scripting languages do. And you've got programs like PyPy in the works, which will make it execute even faster, ultimately. Psycho already does, and .NET will. The Iron Python implementation. So there's just so much excitement in the Python community, I could hardly contain myself. Now, I mentioned that there would be some news, and this is big news. It just came out this week on the news group that Guido von Rossum has been hired by Google. This is really great for the Python open source community. Guido has worked in many very important jobs in the last several years while working on Python, and now he has joined Google, which is probably the best company on earth that he could possibly work for, because Google is very successful and very ethical. Google has the motto. They've always gone by the motto, do no evil, and they like to contribute to open source, and Google uses Python openly and aggressively in their search engines. It's a very important technology to Google. And in fact, Google also employs Alex Martelli. And that's only a few months, I think. Certainly less than a year, I think, that they've employed Alex. I could be wrong on that, but not a real long time. And as you know, Alex Martelli, the author of Python in a Nutshell and the editor of Python Cookbook, Alex Martelli is one of the most brilliant and helpful gentlemen in our industry. And now Guido von Rossum works with him and in the same office. And Google is going to allow Guido to spend 50% of his time on the Python language, further developing it. This secures the position of Python for the long term. It's just a wonderful development. And when you couple this with Microsoft's work on Iron Python, and you couple it with the great web frameworks out there, and the rumors that Turbo Gears will probably maybe unite with Subway, which would be a wonderful thing. I just can't say enough about the strength of the Python community and the good fortune which we are being blessed with. And blessed is the right word. This is a happy community. This is a blessed community. And I'm proud to be part of it, and I hope that you will continue to learn. Study the tutorials on my website. I'll keep coming out with these as time permits of the Python 411 series. I'm hard at work on my own scripts, and time is always the one factor that we never have enough of. And so keep those emails coming. I appreciate comments, suggestions. If anyone has suggestions for future topics, I'm not an expert in all topics, so I may have to ask your help. In fact, if anyone wants to do a guest podcast, I'm all ears, or in any way to contribute to this podcast series. So for now, that's more magic from Python 411, computer programming for everybody.